look who has joined us around the table. The third wheel for Team Owl Dog, Luke Wilson himself, a man of the text chain. Look at you. How miserable are you that you're a part of this text chain right now?
I'm not miserable at all. I mean, I'm sitting here. We said we were 2-6 coming into the week. If my math is right, we're now 4-6-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll sit in that text chain all day.
And he doesn't understand this because he was never an athlete. But we have mojo and we have momentum. That's right. Let's go.
This is the beauty of... I was explaining this to my buddy Solly earlier today. That this is on a platter for me.
Why?
Because I'll tell you why. If you guys go on a heater,
yes,
it's because
not
Luke.
Not if, when.
All right, fine. When Luke is going to get 100% of the credit. If you guys suck, Al's brother and the old dog are the losers that dragged him into the vortex. I can't lose here because I'm not going to give Al's brother
to, what you're not privy to is there's a different text chain without you, and we all offer up different information, and it's either received or not received. Not a good idea. We don't go with it, right?
Yeah, I got to back up my teammates here.
Once again, professional athlete understanding what it's like in a locker room. Go ahead, Luke.
There is another side of this. Another text, whatever, group, if you will, group chat. Mm-hmm. And I have found, it's only been 1 week, that it does give me a nice little balance because sometimes I'll just look at, like, football kind of gut instinct only. Where these guys offer me a new perspective. You know, sometimes I should look more at the numbers and a few other things.
Noodles, go ahead. Can you explain what we're listening to right now, please?
I just have one. I mean, it's not... I mean, Luke's... I feel like there'd be a layer there, and without putting him on the spot, like, there's probably a few times where it's like, these guys don't know what the hell they're talking about, but I'm going to be polite because I'm kind of new to the show, and I don't want to, like, piss people off. But I feel like the other two... Whatever Luke says, they just go, yeah, it's a great idea. Great idea. Like, I agree with you. I was thinking the same 100%. Thing. That's the way I feel. It's like, what is that? I can't remember. Is it the Bugs Bunny where he's like, yeah, you know, yeah, Chester, like the little dog with the big dog. And
that's right.
Like, that's how I feel.
Hang on a sec. I don't want to get this, like, too many people involved, too confused. But Al's brother, was there ever a scenario where you had a belief and Luke said, no, that's stupid, Al's brother, and you were like, oh, yeah, you're right?
No, we're pretty much on the same page.
Very, very much.
And here's my thing. We're going to be above 500 next week because, you know, we got snaked by the weather and we were handcuffed. I didn't really love having to pick that Bills game. That was a tough game to pick.
Agreed.
I did send a text, though, can we change it to the Seahawks game, which I'm sure we'll get into in a sec, because that was the easiest game on planet Earth to pick.
Right.
So not according to Al's brother.
We might have been at odds there, but I think even Al's brother, after the injuries, kind of joined the dark side, a.k.a. the Seahawks, because I know that we're not the most likable group with Pete Carroll and all that. But that being said, how much are you guys going to be sweating when we're sitting at 7-6-1 next week?
Oh, just one guy. Just one guy. Not in the least, because it's not possible. You don't understand what you're walking into here, Luke. This is a poison that you've associated yourself with, and these guys will drag you down. It's just a matter of time.
Hey, let me just refresh your memory or something. The L.A. Kings were floundering. They brought in Daryl Sutter, and what did they do that year? Tell me what they did.
Yeah, they went on a cup run. That's right.
They won the Stanley Cup. So we were floundering, and we brought in our ace, and now you know what's going to happen.
Here's the other thing, though, I will
say. Ravens are frauds.
If you start.
Are frauds.
Here's the thing, though. When Daryl Sutter took over, they had to get rid of some people. Some people had to go. So my question would be, Luke comes in, and he's like, hey, you know what? One of you has to go. It might have to be something like that. Like,
hey, if I have to go, I'll take one for the
you're
team.
You're not going. You're not going. Al's brother not going. My point is it didn't. It wasn't just magical in L.A. Like, there was some carnage there. So Luke,
and there will be carnage, Noodles.
You know what I think's going on right now, O-Dog, Al's brother?
Thank you, brother.
They can sense that we're about to start rolling. And, now,
and
hey.
Also, like I said, he doesn't know about being a teammate.
Yeah.
And like camaraderie. I saw him. He was like, oh my God, these guys are actually buddies now and they're having fun. And he just sits in his basement crying by himself.
Listen, I might be in my basement, but I'm picking winners. Like, yeah. This is what I said yesterday on the text chain that I didn't want to be a part of anyway.
Who do you got tonight then?
Well, I'll let you know in a moment. Oh, I feel good about this game, may I point. Tremendous information. Is champions win in silence, right? They just go about their business. You should have heard some of the texting yesterday, Noodles. After the first drive by Kansas City, so you get the fumble and they punch in six quick. Good start.
Yeah.
These guys start going on about how great their picks are. I'm like, you have a push and a good drive. Like, you couldn't have a lower bar in gambling, considering these guys are batting below the Mendoza line. And yes, things might be looking up because Luke is a part of this program. But at some point, the true Team Al Dog will come back to life, and there will be a mutiny.
If you could pause for a second, professional athlete would like to speak.
I just want to give you a little heads up. I'm building a nice SGP tonight that's got the Garoppolo over, Debo over, Kittle scoring, and Kittle over. So before you take this 1.5 points and go with the Rams, you might want to consider that Jimmy G is not as bad as we saw last week.
Here's the thing.
I know you're picking the Rams.
No, I'm not. I'm on the Niners tonight.
Dude, hang on a second. I am calling a fraud. This guy's a fraud. That's on his show.
This is a classic.
No way. Why would you do that? If you didn't say that, this idiot takes the Rams.
Absolutely not. Classic Shanahan at home divisional game. Gotta have it. Rams have been good. They've recovered since week one. Shanahan knows what's up. It's Stafford and Kupp. Like, Cooper Kupp is crushing defenses. They will find a way. Yes. I'm on the Niners. I'll make that announcement right now. And I don't care if you guys are trying to reverse psychology me in a bad place. Lock it in. It's official. Niners -1.5.
Dude, you're
I like
a joke
Sam
show.
Fran
you just took the bait like that fraud fisherman. You're the fraud fisherman. You took the bait. Yeah, you are. You're the fraud fisherman.
I fish with integrity. There's no way.
Matty Stafford is losing by a point out.
Yes, he is.
There's no way.
Garoppolo, he's changing the playbook. He doesn't like what's going on there. He feels more comfortable. I like the Niners tonight. I've been on it all day.
Al's brother, how are you look out? Are you? Yeah. What do you think of his pick and where we're sitting?
I can't believe this guy took the 49ers.
Thank you very much.
I woke up today and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have to be on those loser Niners who are going to lose tonight. Yeah. And this guy gives us the Rams. I mean, this is a team without Trent Williams. No Trent Williams. You know how much that's going to hurt the Niners tonight?
Best
they're going to be able to run the ball very well.
And on top of that, I do think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a close game. And in close games, the Rams have the ball. There's nobody else you want in a 2-minute drive than Matty Stafford. And we've given him Allen Robinson this year, who we haven't really seen. Mm-hmm. So he's just going to dink and dime down the field, close the game out. The Rams will win by two points.
No, I like the Niners tonight. This is a classic NFL week in, week out. You see a different team. They're at home, divisional rival. Shanahan knows what's up. I'm on the Niners. Lock it in. All right?
I want to add one thing in here, too. Last week, we were critical of Jimmy G and his smiling and, you know, and shaking hands and everyone. And, Luke, you talked about it. This is where I think Jimmy G might be a little bit more serious tonight and knuckle down because maybe somebody had, you know, a little conversation with him this week and say, hey, we didn't appreciate you, you know, smiling away after the loss. So that's where I'm thinking Jimmy G may bring the best.
Jimmy G shows up tonight.
Okay, I do agree with that. Okay, all joking aside, I do think Jimmy G will be better. But when I said I was taking the overs, I also wasn't lying. His overs at 222. That does not equate to a win to me. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to run the ball. And, I mean, I think they'll be okay at it. But I also think that, you know, we watched the Rams get shelled week one, and, you know, they come out, they beat Atlanta, they kind of squeak by, and and the Cardinals, who are not really a great
team. Suck.
Thank you. So now I'm kind of like, you know, I feel like the Rams got to put a point to prove, like, hey, we're still Super Bowl champs.
All right. Listen, you guys, let's not overthink it. We don't have to break it down any more than that. I'm on the Niners. Good luck to you guys. All right, we got Luke Wilson in studio. What kind of statement do you think Mahomes and the Chiefs made last night?
I don't know if it's possible to make a bigger statement. Let's put it that way. I mean, the one thing about Patrick Mahomes that I will say, and it's kind of a right now, if you're asking me who I would want on my team playing quarterback, it's a 1A, 1B, and I know there's a lot of Bills fans out there, but I still think Patrick Mahomes is 1A. Josh Allen
because
is 1B.
Because
he's 1, he's got a little more experience. I think that the offense of Kansas City is a little more dynamic. I don't know how to articulate this. I think Buffalo has great players. Obviously, Stephon Diggs is one of the first guys that pops out. But it's like, this man, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, that was methodical yesterday. Bam, where three different tight ends touched the ball, four or five different receivers. I mean, we've got three running backs. We barely saw Jerick McKinnon yesterday. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was absolutely balling out. They had a run game. But then it's like, when things just look so bleak, this man is doing these crazy plays and making them look like it's the easiest thing in the world. Like, oh, okay, I'll just spin out of this and then flip one for a TD. Like, no bigs. It was, I mean, we all like to talk about the shiny new toy, but Mahomes definitely reminded us that he's still the big dog in town.
What did you make of the other guy on the other side of the ball?
This is funny, is that everyone's kind of like, eh. I mean, he threw for 300-plus yards. Was it three TDs? Four?
Yeah, he had three. Now, he's chasing the game the whole night.
Yes.
So he's got to throw the ball.
Agreed. But this is where it gets weird for me watching Tom yesterday. And now I'm nitpicking, but again, this guy's a GOAT. There's no question about that. But in the past, when you would see Tom down and he's firing like he was last night, part of the reason we all are on this bandwagon, when we're like, uh-oh, here comes Tom, is on the sideline, they're going crazy. It's like he's this extremely, you know, infectious leader. He's screaming, guy. He's rallying his boys. When it's like yesterday, there's a few moments, now they needed to stop, where I'm like, hey, they're down 17, you know, with 10 minutes left. But if there's a guy who can come back, it's Tom Brady. But then you look to the sideline, and it looks like a morgue out there. I mean, it was very, very strange. So I thought Tom obviously played well. Like you said, he had to throw all day. But he still made some tremendous throws. But the part that's missing is like the enjoyment, the joy of playing. Again, 5-6 years ago, even less, I feel like Tom's on the sideline, like preaching to everybody, getting everybody wound up, kind of like the drill sergeant, like, hey, we can still win this game. We can come back. And we've seen it so many times. And yesterday was one where I'm like, I wonder if Tom pulls a miraculous comeback. He's firing right now. But you go to the sideline and everyone's just sitting on the bench like they hate football. Mm-hmm. Very strange.
Very strange. Luke Wilson, our TSN NFL analyst in studio. So Detroit loses again to your Seahawks, but during the game, DK Metcalf takes a cart to the washroom.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Like, okay.
What's up with that? What's your read
before
on this situation?
Before I get into this answer, what terminology would you like me to use that's appropriate for this show?
Moose.
Moose.
You gotta take a moose.
Okay. Gotta take
moose.
A moose.
Moose. All right, perfect. So, you know, I've played a few years at DK. He's a phenomenal guy. He'd be a fan favorite on the Overdrive. Very fun. Mm-hmm. Great guy in the locker room. But one of the strangest things about DK is that I think he has, like, he gets an enjoyment and he thinks it's funny whenever he's taking a moose. So, like, there'll be numerous times on social media where he'll be squatting on the toilet and he'll take a picture of his feet. Like, nothing inappropriate, but it's like clearly you can, like, his pants are in his ankles and he's sitting down and he'll just, like, post this on his social media.
He likes, like, a moose. That's all there is to it.
So I think that played into it. I think my guy DK was like, you know what? I'm going to keep trolling here. I got to take a moose. Like, how can we dress this up even funnier? And I don't know if funnier is the right word, but even more outrageous. I mean, the man took a cart.
Right.
And then doubled down and tweeted, the clinch walk wasn't going to work.
Like, how would the NFL feel about using resources in that way? I mean, in that capacity.
I mean,
you know, like, the cart guy. Can anyone go up to the cart guy and say, hey, I need a lift? Like, move it?
Also, like, I don't want to be this guy, but you're not a rookie. Like, what did you eat before the game that caused you to be in such a dire need that...
I played 840 games in the NHL.
That's a lot.
Never one time did I ever have to leave the bench to have a moose.
Wow.
Yes.
I'll just say this. There are a couple, like, legendary stories, and it's documented, of you know, things that went south. Roberto Luongo in the playoffs against Anaheim didn't come out on time to start overtime because he had a bad boiler. And was it Dave Nonis was the manager? His head almost blew off in the luxury box when he saw Danny Sabourin skate out and try and keep his team in the playoffs, and Roberto Luongo is doing the Harry Dunn in the bath in the toilet. So I mean, it happens where you get a bad boiler, bad piece of chicken, something. But it just—I thought it was hilarious.
It's the cart, though, right?
The cart does that. Take the cart. A whole new dynamic.
Like the cart's out there for a guy that just blew out his knee, or you know, it's not to catch a lift
again
to the back. I mean,
I had a lot kind of, as we know in the show, I was running my mouth to Al's brother, but also being a Windsor kid, you know, a lot of my best friends are Lions fans. Go Leos! We're going to the Super Bowl, even though we're 1-3. You know, that kind of Lions fan,
right?
And so I'm watching, I'm like, you know, a little nervous. And then all of a sudden I'm getting blown up, like, DK's out. DK just got carted out. And I'm like, what? Like, where? What happened to DK? And then it comes back that he needed to take a moose. And I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
that sums it up, man. That's the breakdown, effectively, with Luke Wilson. I find it quite interesting that on a Monday, the Dolphins are already ruling out Tua for this upcoming weekend. Whoa. Not that that's a surprise, not that anyone expected him to play, but all of a sudden,
Brian,
on Monday, they're like, usually you'd make this announcement later in the week, would you not? Like, he's still going through protocol, you're waiting to see, but I think they realize the heat is on them so significantly for the way that they handled it, that they're going to go above and beyond. Like, hey, everyone, we're not even testing. Like, we're not asking him to show up. Don't worry about it. He's out. Like, we're with you. He's not playing again this week.
Brian, I thought it was bizarre that they even said he's missing the one game versus the Jets. I thought it would be, this guy's out indefinitely until, like just to say that he is taking a break from this until he really clears the clouds and figures it out. I thought it was bizarre. Like, yeah, he won't be active versus the Jets. It's like, no kidding.
No, of course.
He might not be back the whole season.
No kidding. Which might be the right thing to do.
Agreed.
I want to hear Luke weigh in, but the only thing I could think of, and this is maybe just kind of where I think life is headed, like, you got a head coach in Mike McDaniel, young progressive guy, and, you know, all I could think about is, now, if that was an old school coach in Miami, that, because you saw he's been squirming his last couple press conferences. He's been bobbling his words. He doesn't look comfortable. He's not the laughing it up and joking anymore. Like, he knows he's on the hot seat. This is a young progressive coach, supposed to be new school thinking, and he's in one. And all I could think about is, if that was Belichick and or, you know, Andy Reid, one of these guys who's been around forever,
they'd be calling
Pete Carroll,
for their heads.
They'd be calling, like, that's the old school. New. And I watched this guy, this kid, squirm. I can call him a kid because I think he's 20 years younger than me. But, like, I watch him squirm on the podium, and all I could think about is, like, maybe it's not just old school thinking. Because this guy has to be culpable at some point along the line as well. Am I wrong on this?
You're not wrong. I do think he's in a tough spot.
Right.
But you're definitely not wrong. In fact, I think there's a conversation that needs to be had as far as what involvement he had in it. You know, I listened to one of his interviews, and he was like, what do you want me to do? Like, go against the doctors? Which is a bit of a cop-out. And, like, yes, that is the answer, but he's in a tough spot being a young coach. You probably got Tua being like, I feel great, etc.
That's the thing, Luke. The player always says,
always,
you know what, I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah.
The point is, he wasn't protected from allowing him, like, from saying that. Somebody's saying, oh, you feel okay, it doesn't matter. There's no chance in hell you're playing this week, and you're not playing the week after. Right. And after that, we'll give you an opportunity to kind of check yourself out, and you might play the week after that. I think no one doing that is where the, like...
Yeah, I mean, how, like, blunt, how honest do you guys want me to get with this whole concussion thing? You want me just kind of... This is... I mean, it's not that. So this is where I look at it. We talked about it on the show. I mean, I was sitting over there, and I almost fell out of my chair laughing when you guys said that Dan Orlovsky said the concussion protocol. It was on the show last week.
It was
good.
Yep.
I'm like, what? again, I don't know if he hasn't been in a while, but as a guy I was in 2018, and trust me, not much has
changed. Why would he say that?
Because, and this is, and then it goes to the union, and this is all just one big show to me. Can someone explain to me how Tua gets a concussion, okay, because that's what I'm going to call it, and clear, somehow they blame it on a back injury, which again, everybody's had a back injury where you might have numbness down the leg. You don't shake your head and almost fall over from a limp body due to a back injury. It's usually like, oh my God, my back has locked up. So, I mean, I'm not even going to get into that because it's absurd. But then you have the UNC, which is now unaffiliated neuroconsultant, which is the most popular word, who clearly didn't do his job or know the rules. The team doctors, because it's said in the union, which I'll get into the NFLPA in a sec, and trust me, that won't be good either, is saying, oh, well, if there's any neurological whatever, it shouldn't even have been a question. He should have been held out. So he doesn't. He comes back, really dodges a bullet in that one. Where was the union? Where was the NFL? Being like, hey, we missed this on the protocol, and he has a Thursday game. Where was Mike McDaniel? Where was any sort of doctor that knows the protocol across the league? Where was anyone in general to be like, hey, red flag, this shouldn't be happening. I don't care if it's his back. He clearly, here's the protocol. They must have missed it. He shouldn't be playing on Thursday. Then we go into, like, again, I said I was going to get into the union. People hear the word union, they think of a working man's union. That is not the NFLPA. I'm not going to mention his name, but a union rep once told me to my face, you don't think of our union as it is now as a union working for the working man. The NFLPA works for the top 5 to 10% of players. They protect the franchise player. They don't protect the third string guard, the practice squad players, the lifelong special teamer.
And furthermore, they could probably care less.
Correct. They could probably care less. This isn't a union, and now they're like, oh, we fired the UNC. I'm like, oh, that's great. We had a guy that, this might sound dramatic, but that was life-threatening, putting him out there in 4 days. And that was not a huge hit. That's how you know this man was banged up, because it wasn't like he smacked his head. He just did the exact same thing that sent him into, I mean, the fingers, the whole ordeal was hard to watch. And now we want to be like, oh, let's pin it on the guy who's unaffiliated with any team.
Yeah, they quickly, I mean, they fired him, right? Was the unaffiliated doctor or whatever.
So okay, is it a simple answer? The coach should have said, I don't really care what you're saying right now. You're not playing for 3 weeks. Or who should have been the one that's smart enough to say that to him?
This is where I get confused. There should have been 5 to 6 people. 7 to 8, now I said.
So this one over the heads of 5 to 7 people that should have said, not even a chance you're playing.
Have you ever heard of a coach telling a player he can't play even though he's been cleared?
No, and it's funny.
So that's the problem. I've never heard of that either. I mean,
thank you very much.
But, okay, in defense,
and actually,
I will say, I took a run at Mike McDaniel, but, like, in defense, like, his job is to coach the team. He's not a concussion doctor. He's not a doctor.
And
so, you know, you do rely on the doctors. You do rely on medical information.
Yeah, I don't think you can blame the coach if the coach is told he can play.
So I will say, Hayes, sorry, I misunderstood your question a bit. In 2013, I want to say it was 2016. Don't quote me on that. We were strolling into the playoffs. It was the game Blair Walsh missed the kick. He was playing for Minnesota, and we moved on.
Yes.
I did not play in that game. I was out with a concussion. I'd been out for a couple weeks. And I was getting better. And it was a playoff game, and I was like, I really want to come back. I was a very young kid, et cetera, just like really pushing this envelope. I think I'd already missed 2 games, at least one. And again, it's a playoff game. Like, I'm selling it. And Pete Carroll pulled me into his office with our head trainer and was like, Luke, listen, you know we love you. We know we want you out there. But I cannot, as a coach, have you out there on my conscience until I know it's 100%. Like, we don't feel, it's not a, hey, you know, we're going a different direction speech. Don't think we're getting cold on you because you haven't played in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. It's, like he said in my face, he's like, your brain health, we're not messing with that. So I will say that is a personal experience that happened with me and Pete Carroll.
Wow. Well, that's cool. You got to, got to make you feel great about the coach right?
Now I mean, I do love Pete. I love that Blair Walsh missed a kick, so I got to play the next week. Unfortunately, right. We lost by, I think, 7 to Carolina, which was a bit of a dagger. But, yeah, that is – I think that's pretty rare, though. I think when it comes to that sort of – those sort of things, Pete Carroll is definitely on one end of the spectrum.
Right. Well, and it is a crutch for a lot of people to wipe the blood off their hands to say, well, what do you want me to do? You know, right. And again, I don't know where it starts. Coach, trainer, teammates, GM, owner, league, I don't know.
Yes. But my thing is somebody better be held accountable other than the UNC.
Right.
Like the unofficiated, I can't even say it now, I'm getting so mad. Affiliated neuro consultant is not the only guy responsible. Mm-hmm. Like there's got to be a slew of 4 to 5 other people that are like, okay, this is not okay. Like, you clearly don't either know the rules or you just decided to ignore them because it was Tua.
Right. Well, we'll see if and when Tua returns. And now the Dolphins, you know, secondarily are now maybe reeling a little bit. Like, where are they going with their season? They were off to such a great start. But we got a Monday nighter tonight. Rams, Niners, Team Hayes, all by myself. Just an individual player, team sport. Individual sport, it doesn't matter. I'm on the Niners tonight.
So
I'm rolling with San Fran.
What is your record at the moment?
6-4, I believe. So,
ooh, wow. So you lose this when you lose this one tonight, well, it'll be real tight.
Yeah, it'll be tight. Yeah, but I'm not banking on that. I'm starting to see the board like really, really well. So that could be trouble for you guys. Enjoy tonight, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Cheers, guys.
There he is, Luke Wilson, our TSN NFL analyst, Super Bowl winner out in Seattle. Good Windsor boy joining us here on Overdrive.